Blog Talk Radio.
The views and opinions of the host do not necessarily represent the views and opinions of the BAIO, the Black African Infrastructure Organization.
Do you believe in the concept of an independent diaspora nation state for the descendants of the transatlantic slave trade, the biggest crime in the history of humanity? Are you tired of Black African people being scattered across the diaspora, living as second and third class citizens in foreign lands? Should Black African people have their own Israel? If you believe and support any of these positions, check out the BAIO social network on Ming. People with various thoughts and opinions on reality coming together with like mind toward a singular goal and common denominator, land, infrastructure, and nationhood. Visit BAIOAfricStand5.ming.com. That's BAIOAfricStand5.ming.com. Black African power and a Bibi Fahodie. Total African liberation. Peace.
All the lives the Stark family has destroyed.
Speaking of thieves, where did you get this design?
My father, Anton Anko.
You are now listening to 13 Revolution on the BAIO Radio. Here is your host, Minister Dawood Mohammed.
Did I hear something about a crew? What they want to do, you better call Mr. Babyface so he can bring out the fool in you. Or it'll be a sad love song being sung by Tony Braxton. And I'll dissect you like a fraction. Or you want to be top cat MCs, I'll pop you like a zit. You want to be the champion, more like cheap some shit. Big up myself every time when it comes to this. MCs be running scared as if they watching an exorcist. I kick more game than a crackhead from Hempstead. My style's a milk, man, you think that I was breastfed. You know the CeeLo when the Dicky Dog is on the scene. I dedicate this to all the MCs out of Queens. That goes for Onyx, LL, Run DMC, Akinelli, Nasty Nas, and the Extra P. We be the trotting up and down, man, there ain't no other. Enough respect to all my beats that made the album cover. Yo, Tip, don't worry, none, you know I get the party jumping. Get on the mic and break them up a little something. Yo, Tip, don't worry, none, you know I get the party jumping. Get on the mic, my man, and break them off a little something.
La, la, la. The bomb shit, so recognize me. Kids memorize me. Every day I be scrounging. Really, I be lounging. I play the down low. Very, very incognito. Aries is my sign. I know that I could rhyme. Sometimes I rhyme in riddles, plus I make the honeys wiggle. Intellect is the major. Some heads like the wager. The skills on the hill, overlooking dollar bills. Man, you're crazy, thinking you can faze me. The app doesn't study me in nonsense money. Life seems to meet me. MCs seem too cheesy with their duty ass renditions of defeating competition. I rock to the romance.
Assalamu alaikum, Hotep, peace, Black African power. It's your host once again, Brother Minister Daoud, bringing the 13th Revolution Experience to BAIO Radio. As long as I live and as long as I draw breath, my three concepts and the question that I will ask will always be land, infrastructure, and nationhood. Question being, what is the end game? I'm so grateful to Allah to be here once again, brothers and sisters. I'm so grateful to Allah to come back at you this week with an exciting topic that I can barely wait to get into. Let me warn you ahead of time, you do not have Brother Daoud, Big Daoud, or Daoud Muhammad tonight. Tonight you got Minister Daoud, and having Minister Daoud is a completely different experience than the brother that you've been listening to for the past couple of weeks. I am here tonight to give you a message of nationhood, but the message deals with spirituality, behavior, and it talks about what we need to move forward. You see, brothers and sisters, I know that in a lot of ways you want to hear policy. Sometimes you want to hear about technology. Sometimes you want to hear about culture. But for me, by practice, by trade, and by love, I spend my whole life mastering the art of explaining to people and diagramming those harmful behaviors that stop them from getting to where they need to go, and also explaining and diagramming those behaviors that they would need to move forward. And as I continue to get back into my mission and rebuild my temple, my personality is sort of leaning more towards the spiritual these days. I'm still a nationalist. But to be nationalist and be spiritual is not a dichotomy. It's not separate. It is one, because we as a people are a spiritual people. And so therefore, I think in many ways, we have to really get down to business here. Because when people attack the BAIO and they say that, you know, you cannot attack the concept of acquiring land, you definitely can't attack the concept of controlling infrastructure. And if you attack nationhood, I don't even know why you're even in the discussion. But what people try to do is they try to ask this question, and the question is, why don't we have such and such? Why don't we have so-and-so? It's been so many years. This dude came in our group and said, the BAIO have been in existence for 6 years, and you guys have done nothing. And we ask, well, what do you mean by we have done nothing? You don't have the land that you be talking about. You don't have the nation that you be talking about. As if you can acquire a nation within 6 years. As if you can acquire a modern technological nation like we want in 6 years. And so therefore, we really have to get down to business, brothers and sisters, and understand why we do what we do, why we're not where we need to go, and what we need to do to move forward. But let me just say this before I go any further. I am a member of the BAIO, and I love the BAIO mission. And our organization is right where it needs to be. We are doing what we're supposed to be doing. We are at the right time and place in history. And we know and understand what we want to do, how we want to do it, and when we want to do it. And we understand that those of you who have your track shoes on and think that you are going to be doing something by having this drug dealer show me now mentality, where you want to go buy 3 to 4 acres of land and say you got a nation, that's not going to cut it for us. Those of you who think that you have spoken to some diplomats and because y'all signed some meaningless paperwork, you've done something, that's not going to do for us. We want a freedom, like the Honorable Muhammad said. We want a full and complete freedom. And if we don't have a full and complete freedom, this ain't worth doing no more. And so be that as it may, brothers and sisters, I don't even want to get into that. I want to get into this subject, man, because I'm very excited about it. So let me read my monologue. I just want to say big shouts to all the people that are here. Thanks to my good brother Holmes for him. As long as I lived, I love that dude. And what would I do without him? He saw the show. He promoted the show and got all these people here. I'm so grateful to Allah that you were here. And I hope and pray that this experience will be one that you enjoy. Y'all know how I get down. I got to get out a couple of points before I bring you in. So let me get on with the getting on. Okay, so the monologue here, the title of the show is Sticks on a Wheel, A Lesson in Black Nationalist Mental Architecture. And it goes as follows. I once spoke to a Kung Fu master who by the name, his name is Brother Wing Sung or Shin Hong Kahlil. I once spoke to a Kung Fu master about which art he thought was the best for a person of slim build. His response was that martial arts are like spokes on a wheel. He said there are many spokes, but one main wheel. Nationhood is that wheel. Nationhood is that wheel that supports the many spokes that are needed for black people in the diaspora to finally have their own. Yet so many of you knuckleheads, so many of you idiots, so many of you incompetent orators, researchers, and speakers, so many of you are trying to draw line after line after line of separation. Let's do this, brothers and sisters. So the way that this story goes is, I met this dude on Blog Talk Radio a couple of years ago. I was doing my thing, my 13 Revolution show that started out as Heaven While You Live, grew into 13 Ministries, and eventually grew up 13 Revolution. So I was swinging my sword on my side. He was doing his thing. He's actually a brother I really respect because his mission was to bring down a corrupt organization called the Guardian Angels. So he had his own counter-organization called the Archangels, and I resonated with that because I had my own kind of counter-nation. Not my own, but I was a part of the counter-nation at that particular time that went against the mainstream corrupt organization that you know as quote-unquote the nation. So be that as it may, brothers and sisters, I called him up. I called him up because I wanted to talk to him, and he supported my show. But I also was at the point in my life where I wanted to study some martial arts, you know what I mean, you know, because I was just at that point. So I said, brother, what is the best martial arts for you to take, you know, of a person that's a slim build? Would it be Wing Chun? Would it be Tai Chi? Would it be Jeet Kune Do? And he said to me, he said, brother, and this is what you have to love about people who are genuine and honest. He said, brother, let me just say this to you. I know Wing Chun. I know karate, and I know a couple of other martial arts. He said, but your concept of which martial art has to be changed. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, your concept of martial arts cannot be that there's one solution to the problem. He said, you have to look at martial arts as spokes on a wheel. I said, what do you mean by this? He said, well, brother, what you need to understand is a wheel is supported, a bicycle wheel and a car wheel is supported by spokes. And every spoke is important, and so every spoke is needed to keep the wheel going and keep the car going. See, this is the blessing of talking to somebody who's a master, because they tell you something 10, 20 years ago, and then years later as you mature, you begin to see what they say, not differently, but you begin to see it more comprehensively. And so I began to think about this spoke-on-a-wheel concept. And in thinking about the spoke-on-a-wheel concept, I began to do some reading and some research, and I began to look at the concept of nationhood. Let me read it to you for a second. It says, the reaction to a radial load of a well-tensioned wire spoke wheel, such as by a rider sitting on a bicycle, is that the wheel flattens slightly near the ground contact area. The rest of the wheel remains approximately circular. The tension of all the spokes does not increase significantly. Instead, only the spokes directly under the hub decrease their tension. The issue of how best to describe this situation is debated. Some authors conclude from this that the hub stands on those spokes immediately below it that experience a reduction in tension, even though the spokes below the hub exert no upward force under the hub and can be replaced by chains without making changing the physical. Without much changing the physics of the wheel. Now, that might sound like a bunch of gobbledygook, but I want to go back to the most important part. You know what that is? The tension of all the spokes does not increase significantly. Instead, only the spokes directly under the hub decrease their tension. The issue of how best to describe this situation is debated. You see, brothers and sisters, when you look at nationhood, when you look at nationalism, when you look at the desire to have your own nation, your own independent nation off the shores of America, out of the control of, direct control of white supremacy, what you need to understand and what you need to know without a shadow of a doubt is that we all have a part in this, and we all have a contributing factor. We all relieve the tension of the will. Nationhood is the will. Having your own nation is a will. Your own independent territory off the shores of America, that is your will. And you and I, the people, the skills, and the resources we have are the spokes. And each and every one of us in our own way, but what is near and dear to me and near and dear to my heart is that when you look at what was said, the tension of the spokes does not increase significantly. Instead, only the spokes directly under the hub decrease their tension. So there will be some people who will go first. There will be some people who will be pioneers. There will be some people who will go to the physical land and begin to build the land. Then there will be some people who remain behind. These people will want to build satellite communities. These people will want to collect resources. These people will want to muster more support. You are out there and you are busy trying to delete people. You are trying to separate yourself from people. You are trying to deny people of nationhood. And what you don't realize is all the people that you can get are what? They are simply spokes on a damn wheel. We'll be back. No disrespect, Guru, but we got to come back at this. And we're back, brothers and sisters, and hope and pray that you're enjoying the show. We ain't hardly got into it. So I hope you're here for the ride. I hope you're here without your feelings, because we're going to get a little bit deeper into this. There is no intention of me to be speaking towards any specific person. If, in fact, when we begin to diagram certain behaviors and actions, that we touch something within you. Like my minister, may Allah be pleased with him, used to say, if the fire get too hot, raise up, fan your behind, and sit back down. Because it's all love, brothers and sisters. I'm here. I'm in a good mood. I gave out like 1,000 horsey rides to my girls today, and I'm just into it. But this is something that needs to be said. Listen, Anna Blythe Muhammad says to us, the message to the black man, he says, at present, we have hundreds of clubs and organizations, thousands of teachers, hundreds of educators, scholars, scientists, technicians, doctors, lawyers, judges, congressmen, ambassadors, professors, tradesmen of all kinds, and engineers of most every kind. We have all kinds of religious believers, teachers, preachers by the thousands, agriculturalists, herdsmen and cattlemen and fishermen and hundreds of wild game. What more do we need but the unity of the whole for the whole? I think you need to hear that again. What more do we need but the unity of the whole for the whole? What actually is preventing this unity of 22 million or more of us is the ignorance and foolish love and fear of our enemies in the professional and leadership class of this nation of 22 million black people up from slavery. These are disgraceful Uncle Toms in a world of freedom, learning, and advanced science in every branch of study. How long shall we seek the white man's education to become their servants instead of becoming builders of a progressive nation of our own on some of this earth that we can call our own? And I say again, how long shall we seek the white man's education to become their servants instead of becoming builders of a progressive nation of our own on some of this earth that we can call our own? All right, so let's get into it, brothers and sisters. All right, so listen. So you know how I feel about internet, social media, saturated black people police shootings. You know how I feel about that. There's a cycle. The cycle is very, very predictable, and the cycle is perpetual. So you have your shooting. You have some kind of unfair, trademark, sadistic police shooting of an individual. He, she, they may be from the hood, but they may not be. But be that as it may, they're going to be assassinated, their character's going to be assassinated, and their physical self is assassinated. That's phase one. Within phase one, you're going to see it all over Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever it is that you can see, and there's going to be outrage. We as a people may even riot in phase one. We may go on a Twitter storm, a Facebook storm. We may come out with thousands of blog talk shows. We may organize. We may meet in rooms. You know, we may do all of this stuff. That's phase one. All of that's encompassed in phase one. Phase two is when, because of all of this outrage, that person, as a symbolic show, is indicted. Yeah, they're going to face some charges, and they may actually go to jail, and, you know, they may even actually seek the death penalty. You never know. But the trial is set for next year. So so-and-so gets bailed out, usually by their own union or police benevolent situation, a society, and they get to run free and get on administrative death duty while they wait for this trial that's going to happen next year. Now, while this trial is happening next year, because of the social media blitzkrieg of various different, news that comes almost every day, you end up forgetting about this. You end up forgetting that it happened. The only people who really remember that it happened are those of us near and dear to the movement and the person's family. And so what happens is, by this time next year, here comes the trial. So when the trial comes next year, you've already been 75% desensitized. And once you've been 75% desensitized, boom, they try the man, they try the woman, they find them not guilty, and then you know what comes after that? What comes after that, the feeling of helplessness and hopelessness. You understand what I'm saying? This cycle is perpetual with everybody that gets shot by the police, and it becomes viral, and it's all over the internet. Every person that gets shot by the police is paraded before you, so you can watch that, and you can be afraid. You can be terrified, or you can be angry. You could be swelled up with intense emotion. You want to join a movement now. You want to be a part of something. We need to organize. We need to strategize. We need to do this, and we need to do that. However, you never think about the fact that all of those shootings and the people who perpetuate them, and the people who perpetuate them are the officers, the court system, and the people, keep it real, that's on the jury. And so be that as it may, brothers and sisters, and it is, all those people are nothing more than spokes on the wheel, and the wheel is the system that you call America. And unless you are willing to change the tire on your car and put on a new tire, you will still be driving around, and you're going to see that check tire pressure light every 3 months. I think I need to say that again. Unless you're willing to change the tire, you're going to see that change tire pressure light every 3 freaking months. And the fact of the matter is if you keep filling that tire, or let's just say that you had a car with expensive tires and you kept having to change them, and then you changed it, you spent $600 because, you know, there's some luxury cars where you literally got to pay $600 for a tire, and you keep changing it, and as soon as you change it, then there's no one got a hole in it. What's going to happen to you? What's going to happen to your spirit? What's going to happen to your hope? The Bible says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. And so when you think about this situation, let me read to you what this dude said when they let him go free, okay? Because I want to speak to a different issue or bigger issue that deals with black people in the African diaspora. It says, the defense maintained that the two men wrestled on the ground, that Scott got control of Slager's stun gun and then pointed the weapon at the 35-year-old officer before the shooting. The defense also contended that there was no way that the officer could tell if Scott was unarmed. Now, check this out. Much of the testimony centered on the cell phone video, which at times was blurry and shaky. Yeah, right. We all saw that dude, Walter, run away from that policeman, and we saw Walter Scott raise his weapon and bust my man in his back a couple of times. Was that not clear to you? It was clear to me. And one of my eyes is messed up. Okay? The defense contended that there was much more to the case than the brief video clip that was seen worldwide. But here's what I really want to deal with. Okay? Slager took the stand and testified that Scott wrestled with him and grabbed his taser and came at him with it. He said he was in total fear. At the time, he fired his gun. And at that point, I pulled my firearm and I pulled the trigger, he testified. I fired until the threat was stopped, as I was trained to do. Slager, who was a 5-year veteran of the department, also expressed regret over the whole incident. My family has been destroyed by it. The Scott family has been destroyed by it. It's horrible, he said. No, fool. You know what's horrible? What's horrible is that you don't even have enough self-awareness to, first of all, realize that when a man is running away from you, you are not in fear for your life, number one. Number two, you have such little self-awareness that you don't realize your family is not ruined by that. But his family, and not only is his family ruined by that, many black people who watch this over these years, over this time, they are ruined by that. You see what I'm trying to say, brothers and sisters? You see what I'm trying to say? So now, let's take this particular situation and let's mirror it and parallel it with us as a people. See, what you witness with this police officer is you witness an elite, acute lack of self-awareness. You know what the lack of self-awareness is? Do you know what it is? Lack of self-awareness. Have you ever heard that before? Hopefully nobody has ever said that to you. But have you ever heard somebody say it? And more importantly, have you ever really studied the psychosis involved in lack of self-awareness? You see, for you to be a key person in nationhood, for you to be a spoke on the wheel of nationhood, you got to have self-awareness. The smartest people I deal with, the relatively intelligent people I deal with, are people who have self-awareness, people who know who they are, know where they are, and know what their space and proximity is to other people. In other words, when you say space and proximity, what I'm saying to you is I know who I am and what my function is, where I'm functioning at and what I'm doing, and I am fully aware of you and how you are functioning, and I am aware when I infringe on what you're doing and when you infringe on what I'm doing. I'm fully aware when what I do causes you discomfort, causes you harm, and I'm fully aware when what you do causes me discomfort and causes me this harm. See, you deal me? Do you understand what I'm saying now? You see, if you're going to say that you're a Pan-Africanist, a black nationalist, a Muslim, a Moor, a Nubian, or whatever, if you're going to translate that into saying, I want my own black nation, or maybe you don't like to use the word black, so maybe you're going to say, I want my own indigenous nation, or maybe you say, I want my own African nation, maybe you say, I want my own Kemetic nation. You know what? I could care less what you call it. You know what I care about as Minister Dawood? What I care about is, are you self-aware? Do you have awareness of your fellow black man and your fellow black woman? Because I don't care if you know how to engineer fire alarms. I don't care if you know how to engineer networks. I don't care if you know how to engineer piping systems. If you work for DARPA, I could care less initially. What I care about before I sign off on saying that you are my brother or my sister in nationhood is, are you self-aware? Do you have enough awareness of me and those around me and you to know when what you are doing is infringing on me and what I'm doing is infringing on you? Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. My good brother Kyle Genesis posted this video in the chat room, and this video was these sisters who happened to have, you know what I'm saying, joined some kind of black guerrilla gun club down in the South. And apparently the males in this group was all, like, you know, completely out of control abusing the woman. And the fact of the matter is, son, is that, what you call it? The fact of the matter is, when I looked at this video, there was no shortage of sisters coming out saying, I live with so-and-so, he locked me up in the room, I live with so-and-so, he spat on me, I live with so-and-so, he wouldn't let me go to the store. Yo, what is wrong with some of y'all out there? What is wrong with some of y'all out there? What that says to me is you have no self-awareness. What that says to me is you are just like this policeman where you shot somebody to death and you got the unmitigated gall to take a stand and say, both of our families are ruined. Nigga, your family is not ruined, but the people who you took his life, their family is ruined. And what happens is a lot of times, brothers and sisters, is that you cause problems, you cause mayhem, you cause trouble amongst the people you go around, and you don't even have the self-awareness to realize it's you that's the problem, it's nobody else. It's you that's the problem. And I get really upset with this kind of stuff because it is very hard to reach somebody that never accepts the fact that they are causing the trouble and nobody else is causing the trouble. It is very hard. And this is the personality of a psychopath. And you know who's synonymous with psychopaths? Jeffrey Dahmer, Timothy McVeigh, and the rest of these people, fictitiously being Hannibal Lecter, the rest of these people who actually eat people and put body parts in their refrigerators and crazy stuff like that that you think is just TV but is in real life. And so what I'm saying to you, brothers and sisters, is this. This nationhood discussion, this thing got to get more serious than it is, man. It's got to get much more serious than it is. Because the fact of the matter is I'm going to close and I'm going to go to my next segment. I'm probably only going to get one more segment over because I see the people want to speak. But let me just say this to you. We had an individual come amongst us just a couple of months ago. And this dude is just like what I'm saying. No self-awareness. Let me ask you something before I go any further with this. When you speak in the public, are you known for talking about somebody while they're standing right in front of you? Are you known for speaking about stuff that you think should be private but saying it and everybody else can hear it? I mean, these are signs of a lack of self-awareness. Do you come out your house looking a certain way and expect everybody accepts you when you know that that way looks crazy as hell and then get mad at people for looking at you like you're crazy? These are signs of a lack of self-awareness. So anyway, let me get back on the jack. So this dude comes around us. We are established. We are a group. We are a family, boy. We are a family, B-A-I-O. We're not just like some dudes kicking around the word nation and we say ooh-hoo every 5 seconds. We are a family. And when you come around us, you better come correct. Because at this point, we've been through so much now, we're not even going to tolerate 2 seconds of your mess on the wall. But anyway, I digress. So this cat comes around us. He posts his idea of what nationhood should be. And then he starts putting dots next to his post as if we need to answer him very fast. Let me tell you something, brother or sister. Just by virtue of the fact that you're going to come around us and you're going to make demands that we answer you fast tells me, Brother Minister Dawood, that you have no self-awareness. That means that you are so ignorant and stupid that you do not realize that we already have what we're trying to do, and the only thing that you can do is either help or homogenize. Either help or homogenize, but you don't. You don't. A lot of you come around and you say, oh, I like what y'all saying. I got the answer, y'all need to join me. What? Like, are you, like, it's unbelievable, some of y'all. It's unbelievable, some of y'all. So what I'm saying to you, brothers and sisters, is this. At the end of the day, with the meat of the conversation and the meat of the discussion of nationhood. Nationhood cannot survive with individuals who are psychopaths like that cop who will shoot and kill somebody, ruin his family, cause deep trauma to those from the black nation that's watching that, turn around and say, my family was ruined and his family was ruined. Your family is spokes on the wheel of white supremacy. Your family will survive. It will adapt. It will become stronger. Our family will have to get a new will, and we will have to get every spoke that we can, but the spokes have to be together, and that means that they have to be self-aware. We'll be back.
Well, it's the ass cracking, grass packing into brown paper, clown scraper off the mother loving stage up to start it. I'm having brothers step like brake lights, cause once I get in them, they suck it like, yo, get this venom out my snake bites. I take flights, I drop bombs, brothers ain't ready, and the only way you rain on this parade be asking Fetty. Strictly ticket tape when I kick it, rape your dome, I'll nut and make your foe an S girl. I bag your host and yes girl, you go. Get the fuck out after finishing, diminishing the ego. As if the honey's gas, you know how we go. But if she's chill, I kill it till she need corrective shoes and disrespective crews. I feel the need to get evil. So nigga, watch that ass, this shit is feeble. When it comes to flipping flows, I show's more Devin than Knievel as you Super Dave. Listen, troop the flame is strictly juggernauts. Adesium jaw,
1, 2. Hit your pressure points with joints. As a gift, knock you off your pivot. Exquisite with verbal flex. Place all best for the offer. I'm often, MC's very often. The only way they see me face up from a coffin. Ain't no images here, I make it clear. When I speak on rhyme techniques to attack old fleets, born and bred in the streets, dreams deadly on beats that I perform with. Who wants to get informed with? This nigga from Philly, rapping for my clique. As I kick it from 4-9 to Broad Street down to Chester Ave, half top.
Have you ever heard of them? The Juggernauts? That's a group from underground group from back in the day. Hopefully the language did not offend you. I was actually had the blessing and honor to be talking to my good brother, Sheehan Khalil, the brother who inspired this show. And he is actually on the line. I'm going to bring him in after this segment. It's a joy. We've been friends for many years. I love this dude. I really do. And, like, when I say I love this dude, like, our relationship goes way deeper than we just knew each other on Blog Talk. Like, we shared some moments and, you know what I'm saying? Like, it just is what it is. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, either way, I'm so glad that he's here. And he's with me, and I've been there for so many of his shows, he's been there for so many of mine. But let's get back on the Jack Williams. Okay, so what I want to deal with next, actually is an extension of lack of self-awareness. What I want to deal with is what's called narcissism, okay? And see, I hope that as I continue to call out these particular behaviors, that those of you who want to come after the BAIO, you will see yourself. It will look so ugly to you that you won't even think about messaging us until you get yourself together. Because, you know, the fact of the matter, brothers and sisters, is that we've known this for a long time. The conscious community, the nationalist community, the black power community is loaded with brothers and sisters who have mental issues. And when you come around people talking about nationhood, the problem is that you cannot effectively practice and acquire nationhood with gentlemen and women who have these serious, deep-seated psychopathic issues that never have been dealt with. They will self-destruct. You ever be around people and they find a reason to be angry with you? You ever be around people and they just find a reason why you did something wrong? And you mean, like, when you're around people like that, you got to be very strong in your character, man. You got to be very strong in your character and your belief in yourself. I actually was, you know, intimately connected to somebody like that many, many, many years ago. And the person made me so much stronger, not because of the positive energy, but because of the negative energy and my struggle to overcome it and really believe in myself. Now, you may look at me and you may say that's weak or whatever, you may not have gone through that. But I know damn well that there's some of you, you've been through that, where you had somebody constantly putting you down, verbally abusing you, and trumping up situations and finding new reasons why you're not this and you're not that. And, you know, sometimes you want to be faithful. Sometimes you want to be honest with a person. But at the same time, you don't admit to yourself that they got some kind of psychopathic psychosis. So what you do is you stay in either the friendship or the relationship. You be hoping that it gets better. But at the same time, you are taking serious traumatic blows to your psychosis. Your psychosis and your ego, and really your feelings. And you got one choice, or another, brothers and sisters. Either you toughen up and you overcome it, or you basically bounce and you leave. Well, actually, there's three choices. Or you succumb to it and let that person break you into nothingness. And I was determined that I wouldn't be broken. I was determined I wouldn't be broken. And I say to everybody, they say, you want to know who made me? Is that person that made me? They say, really, that's beautiful. I said, no, it's not beautiful. It's not beautiful. It isn't. It worked out in the end, but at the end of the day, what happened was is I had to overcome that person and become stronger, and that's what made me the person I am with the skin that I have. However, there still were some issues that I really had to work over at the tail end of my life, because they left damage there. And what I'm saying to you is that if we are to be together in a nation, you know, it is what's trendy. What's trendy is for people to come on radio shows and stuff like that and say, there's no way all black people can build together. I'm not interested in that. You know what? Who you are when you say that? You are a guy that doesn't get along with anybody anyway. That's who you are. You a girl that don't get along with anybody anyway. And so you are now making it easy and making it palatable for you to be by yourself. And what that means is that the people that you will build with is your handpicked individuals. Your handpicked individuals. Let me get to this article here. Sisters, this is not me taking a shot at you. If you are on the show and you're a nationalist, I know full well you didn't vote for nobody. But if you did, and this is you, like the Honorable Minister Linda X would say, raise up, fan your behind, and sit back down in the chair. From the time she officially announced her candidacy, I had been adamant that I would not vote for Hillary Clinton. Whatever common experiences we shared because of our womanhood were not enough to make me overlook my legitimate concerns over her political position in history. That admission was usually met with berating hostility, as her supporters assumed that my disdain for Clinton meant I supported the racism, sexism, and xenophobia embraced by her strongest competitor. Nothing could have been further from the truth. I am a black woman. There was no amount of resentment for Clinton that would have made me vote for Donald Trump. No, I was not with her, but I wasn't even on the same planet as him. I can't read the whole article, so let me go to the bottom of what I really want to deal with. So as I sat watching the results of the election, stunned doesn't begin to describe my reaction. That Donald Trump, with no prior political experience, was elected to the highest office of the most powerful country on earth was shocking. What exit poll data revealed was utterly astounding. More than half of the white women who voted, 53%, had voted for Trump. Yes, just over 4 in 10, 43%, of those who were de facto face of I Am With Her had championed the female president in the voting booth. Conversely, black female voters, many of whom had declared, girl, I guess I'm with her, # stayed true to the unenthusiastic declaration and voted at a nearly exclusive 94% for Clinton. You need to let that rest on your heart for a second. How a white woman, for whom a Clinton victory would have been most symbolic, Trump's second strongest supporting demographic. See, now, here's the thing, brothers and sisters. Here's the thing. The thing is, you knew that this woman's husband was responsible for mass incarceration of black males. And you knew that this woman called black children, specifically black boys, super predators. You knew that. Tyra Banks, you knew that. You know what I'm saying? All the rest of you female black supporters knew that, and you still voted for her. 94% of you who voted for her. Now, again, you sisters who are nationalists, I know full well that you didn't vote, so please don't get offended. I love you. I support you. I'm not talking about you. And if you get offended, I'm giving you the side eye because you should be like, get him, brother minister. Okay? So you can come at me, and I'm going to roast you if you do. But either way, the fact of the matter is this. When you have ignored all of that because you, quote, unquote, just wanted to support a woman being a president, then what happens in this situation is that you thought that you had a kindred with those who voted for her or the female of your enemy also. And what happened was this. What you didn't realize was, again, the wheel was white supremacy, and they were spokes, and you were spokes also. That's what you didn't realize. And what we were trying to tell you all of this time was you didn't to pluck yourself off the wheel of white supremacy and put yourself firmly installed on the wheel of nationhood. Because it is only through nationhood that you will get all of the rights that you want. It is only through nationhood that you will get all of the equality that you want. And it is only through nationhood that you will have the peace, serenity, and tranquility that you want. And you may say, well, there's no place on earth that you can flee from white supremacy. This is what I'd be hearing now. This is the cowardly excuse not to want your own nation off the shores of America. Well, let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. Maybe you are right with that. But let me ask you something. Is it not worth it? Is it not worth it to be amongst your own people trying to defend yourself? Is it not worth it trying to be amongst your own people and have a nation that you can do trade with, that you can build with, that you can send your children to if you think that they're in trouble? Is it not worth it? You think the better option is to vote for Hillary Clinton? Is that what the better option is? And that's what makes you a narcissist if that's what you did. So the reality of it, brothers and sisters, is this. The reality of it is this. Let me get my my definition for narcissism. Psychopaths have a narcissistic and grossly inflated view of their own self-worth and importance, a truly astounding egocentricity and sense of entitlement, and see themselves as the center of the universe, justified in living according to their own rules. It's not that I don't follow the law, said one subject. I follow my own laws. I never violate my own rules. She then proceeded to describe these rules in terms of looking out for number one. This is freaking perfect. Psychopaths often claim to have specific goals but show little appreciation regarding the qualifications required. They have no idea of how to achieve them and little or no chance of attaining these goals given their track record and lack of sustained interest in formal education. The psychopathic inmate might outline vague plans to become a lawyer for the poor or property tycoon. One inmate, not particularly literate, managed to copyright the title of a book he was planning to write about himself, already counting the fortune of his best-selling book that his best-selling book would bring. See, what I'm saying to you is this, and I use that particular example, but this is not a me-bashing black woman situation. It's not even really talking about black women. It's talking about all of us. When you have an over-exaggerated view of your own self-worth, we all should be championing ourselves. We all should be our best cheerleader. We all should be believing ourselves. But when you have an over-exaggerated view of you and your own worth, what ends up happening is something like what happened here. You think that you stand in unison with the spokes on the wheel of white supremacy when in reality you never were. You were the gun that they were rolling over with that tire. You were the dog mess that they were rolling over with that tire. And what we are gently trying to say, what we are lovingly trying to say, what we are saying ever so carefully, brothers and sisters, not just sisters, but brothers and sisters, is that the BAIO, Black African Infrastructure Organization, we stand for land, infrastructure, and nationhood. And what we see each other as is that each individual is important, but at the end of the day, when it comes to nationhood, we are all spokes on a wheel. We'll be back, and I'll be taking calls.
I'd like to take a minute to apologize for not taking advantage of you. to be mad at you, yeah. For so many hours waiting, yeah. I finally know what it means to be patient, yeah. And everything has its place, yeah. And reason, and I've learned.
I definitely had another segment to do, but there's so many people in the queue. I want to give you all a chance to say something, and I don't want to overflow my man Max611's show. So at this particular time, though, it is my pleasure, my humble honor to bring forward my good brother, the man I used to call my West Coast twin, Sheehan Khalil Barnes. Big brother, assalamu alaikum, how are you?
Wa alaikum salam, brother, and it's a pleasure to hear you take the spokes in the wheel to the next level, brother, the wheel within the wheel. You know, first I'd like to pay respect to you and all of your guests tonight, and I'd like to thank you for giving such an edifying message, because the wheel within the wheel is how to defeat the wheel, brother. It's that seed
right.
that they plant of doubt, the seed of deception, and the seed of division. You know, as I listened to you speak tonight, brother, I thought about how this wheel within the wheel caused the outer wheel to become self-destructive. You know, the old Jedi mind trick. They gave us 12
uh-huh.
years a slave. They gave us roots. They gave us constantly graphic photos of black men being destroyed in the street. And then they pulled the old Jedi mind trick. Of course it was justified. Didn't you just see this? You know, here it
right.
is. We have to realize that the seed of doubt is always trying to be planted in our head, but also the seed of fear. And here it is.
Right.
By giving our young people all of these seeds of fear, where the white man is constantly murdering us right in front of our own communities and the brothers stand by and watch, that they tend to try to desensitize us to a black man being beat and 25 other black men standing around like it's okay. There comes a point where we have to look to where our help comes from, and it's not coming from any place but within. You know, as I
right.
look and I listen to what you were saying about the brother being shot in the back, obviously there was no threat when you're running away from someone and you're getting shot in the back. That is a cowardly
right.
act. It is a cowardly
right.
act. And for them to try to justify that and make us go, oh, yes, it's okay, along with all of the other hundreds of shootings that have taken place over the last couple of years. You see, we're coming to a point in time where we as a people are branches on this tree or wheels on this spoke. And the only way to defeat us is to get inside of us and make us doubt ourselves, make us fear the enemy. And fear is our worst enemy. You have nothing to fear but fear itself. It's time to stand and be who we were meant to be, because obviously our help is not coming from the hills. It's coming from within us as a people. And it's so awesome to see you take that information that I gave you and flip it so, oh, man, so awesome. I enjoyed listening to that. Yo, Brother Dow, you already know how I feel about you. And I love the eloquency in which you delivered that message, because obviously you've gone a lot deeper than just the spokes in the axle. You've gone to the wheel within the wheel. What could defeat your own wheel? And here it is, as a people. If we don't believe that we have the strength within ourselves to also eliminate the enemy from planting seeds in our brain and making them grow into trees, then we will fail. We will fail. We
right,
have to
brother.
Recognize where the true power comes from. And it's awesome to see your new organization going forward and being so powerful. And I'm not going to be long-winded because I know you have other guests, but thank you for delivering such a powerful message today, because I have received so much from you just listening to something I gave you and watched you flip it and elevate it to a whole nother level. Thank you for your message today, brother.
You're quite welcome, brother. Listen, well, first of all, thank you for giving it to me, because I was very I was very nervous in calling you that day, and you know, it was nothing but gracious and humble in receiving me. And, you know, I that's the thing is, like, when you become my friend and it gives me something to think about, it's like, even if we have to talk for a while or whatever, I value that friendship, and I always go over some of the words. And people always say to me, they say, man, brother, you got that curse. Because, like, I always tell people, I can remember what you was wearing the first day I saw you. And
yes, sir.
I thought about that, you know what I'm saying, because I remember reaching out to you, and that's exactly how the conversation went, and you were telling me.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, that's back then when you used to use the magic jack. So, like, you were talking to me, and you was like, remember that?
Yes, sir.
You was like, brother, that was right. I was like, oh, man, the phone keeps messing up, because the magic jack was, like, not that great. But what I did get from it, it definitely was. It was the greatest food for thought, because I mean, I try to apply that in many different ways, and I try to apply that in my career. I try to apply that in my family. And so, listen, I mean, the wisdom that you taught me is something that I will always go over. And I value people who master something, because I always look at it as I say in the temple all the time, a man and a woman will always respect another man who's paid the price. And I know
yes,
that
sir.
You paid the price to become, to even have the name Shihan and have that name and use it and teach other people. And you didn't, you know, you're a self-aware person because you didn't get it just to look good or to charge people high prices of money. You used it not only to teach, but you used it to start your organization, which was against another unjust organization. And when they were finally defeated, you didn't carry on organization by ego, you know what I'm saying? You moved on to other things. And for that,
yes,
I have
sir.
To say I always respect and love you, brothers.
Yes, sir, because I believe when you have a mission, you should complete your goal. You know, and I see your goals have even got greater also, Minister. And here it is with the wake-up call that you're giving to our people to realize that, you know, we've basically been bamboozled into thinking that these people are our friends, and they're not our friends.
Right.
I mean, and the point you were making on Hillary Clinton, I mean, anybody that supports Planned Parenthood has to realize that that wasn't a friendly thing. Just like her husband tried to make the three-strike law, which he did, which incarcerated more blacks ever, she also supported and called the woman that created Planned Parenthood her hero, a place that was designed to commit genocide on the black race. Bring me your babies, and oh, you can't have them. Well, this is the right thing to do. How else could you get a black person to deliver their baby up to you and purposely let you kill them? This whole concept of what's going on and how we've been mind-screwed into thinking that, you know, these people are our friends. You really have to watch when you're speaking to a white individual who's basically here to wipe out our whole race. And they do it with a smile on their face. And I agree with you. I heard a lot of different black people say, well, Trump is going to be bad, but I'm going to take the lesser two evils. I mean, why would you have to take the evil to begin with? I'm
exactly.
just saying, why would you even participate in that? That's like, let me see, should I stab myself in the right leg or the left leg? I mean, give me a break on that one. And I agree 100% because obviously by her calling every young black male a male predator, do you realize what a male predator is? It means that our people have nobody that's intelligent. Our young people are designed just to go around killing, thugging, and preying on those who can't help themselves, which we know we have as many intelligent black men running around this country, and we have more intelligent people than we have thugs, but they choose to focus on us in a way to where they sensationalize anything that happens in the black community that may be negative. Here it is.
Indeed.
But you find a young black woman who's going to college at the age of 14, and she's already got a degree at the age of 16. They don't want to talk about that. They don't want to talk.
Nope.
You might find that article on Facebook. You won't talk about the 44 black men that graduated college and became doctors. No, you're going to talk about the one or two that may have been involved in the shooting, when obviously we know that we are greater than that. And because they choose to focus on us differently than they do as whites, they have it where when they describe a white riot, oh, these are just young college students and they're a little out of hand. When it's blacks rioting, oh, they're thugs and murderers and we need the National Guard. You can look at the presence of the police in these two different events. when they come out, when we're rioting as black people trying to stand up for our children being shot dead in the street, they come out and riot gear. When the college kids are rioting, they're sitting on the side picking themselves with toothpicks, no riot gear, no sticks, no nothing. Why? It's just a big difference, brother. And this system is not designed to help us. And anybody that thinks that they're getting in bed with someone here that's going to help us in the United States with our own problems are wrong. Like I said in the beginning, the help comes from within. And by standing together and forming an organization such as you have that brings out black awareness, know who you are, is the most important thing. Know who you are. Just like the Willie Lynch letter said, the last line in that letter. If they ever find out who they are, you must never let them find out who they are. Today, we have so many young black people that are becoming conscious and realizing that we are greater than we were told. They realize it because we weren't meant to be having access to the Internet. You know, in the 60s, they couldn't research themselves the way we research ourselves today. Because we're not just reading his story, we're reading world history. We're finding out things that were never meant to be learned by young black males. And I am very proud to see the ministers and brothers like you that are getting out there and voicing that, going to the highest top of the mountain, crying in the wilderness like John the Baptist, letting people know, look at who you are as a people. It is very important that you continue this mission, brother. This mission has your name written all over, and you were ordained to do this. And I commend you, and I always respect your work, Akeem, always. Always. And I think
that's
why our bond became so close, because no one had to tell you were a leader. You led by example. And you remember I said to you one day, a man has never got to tell you about his character. It'll speak for itself. Well, your character is screaming, brother, and it's screaming louder than ever. And I hear you.
Thank you, baby.
And remember
thank
this.
You very much.
I'm always with you, Aki. Even when I'm absent from you, I am always with you. And I don't want to take over your show talking too much, but you get my point.
Yes, sir.
You get my point.
And thank you very much, big brother. I do have to move on to the next caller, but I got your phone number, and we'll be in touch. And I got it. Anyway, I'll speak to you within the next couple of days.
Give my love to Sister Fatima.
Will do. Love you, black man. Peace.
Salaam alaikum, brother.
Lake Salaam. Okay. I thought that was Mac that had his hand up. Mac, is that you?
Nah, what up, brother? It's Dev.
Oh, brother, what's up? Peace, how you?
Peace, I'm good. And you, Aki, how you?
Oh, without a doubt, I'm good. I'm even better that you here. How's everything going?
Everything's good. I can't complain, brother. I just tuned into the show. I had seen the message in the iMessage, and I said, oh, man, let me tune into the show. I really didn't know what the show was about, but I said, you know, I still was going to call.
Got you. Well, if you could give us a brief, you know, what your thoughts is. The title of the show is Spokes on a Wheel. And what we talk about here is, it says, I once spoke to a Kung Fu master, which I just got off the phone with, about which art he thought was best for a person of slim build. And his response was that martial arts are like spokes on the wheel. He said that there are many spokes on one main wheel. And I think that nationhood is like that. Nationhood is that will that supports many spokes that are needed for black people in the diaspora to finally have their own, yet so many of us are trying to draw line after line after line of separation.
Right.
So I know you got some thoughts on that. Let it go, big brother.
Man, you know, you got plenty of thoughts. I'm just saying, you know, we as a whole, man, just need to, We just need to focus on what we're going to do, man, and start recognizing. First of all, the first thing we got to do is we got to let this America, this place here out of our system. If we don't get this out of our system, there's no way we're going to do something else somewhere else, because we're still going to be locked into this. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I always hear, oh, we built this, we did this. No, if we did all that, which you're saying, we wouldn't be treated like the second and third class citizens that they treat us like here. You know what I'm saying? It's got to be a time in your life when you say enough is enough. You know what I'm saying? And we've been way past that point of enough is enough. You know what I'm saying? It's we at a point now where it's either kill or be killed. You know what I'm saying? And like if you don't understand today that we need to get away from here and start our own thing. I at this point, all I can say, like I say to my brother, I talk to my brother Mark every day, I prefer to holler up every day, and I'm like,
yo, bro, we can't save them. They don't want to be saved. It's like that record. You don't save her, she don't want to be saved. And that's just what it is. And I think that all us brothers with the like minds, we just need to focus on our goal and do what we got to do and focus on nationhood. That's it. You know what I'm saying? Those that don't want to be saved, even though it hurts us, we got to let it be, man. We got to let it be. It ain't the blood is not on our hands. That's their choice. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's just how I feel. You know, that's just what I feel, bro. You know?
Word up.
And trust me, brother, these are harsh words to come from me and how I feel. But I had to come to the realization that I can't stagnate what we need to do. No, not what we need to, what we have to do to get out of here.
Right.
By focusing on trying to change their mind and what they want by staying here. So I got to leave
right.
it alone. And there's even some brothers that we are around that are still stuck in dealing with what goes on here. And I'm like, I don't even want to talk about what these cats are doing here. It's not my time to focus on that. My time is to focus on what I'm going to do on the continent that we choose to build our relation. That's all I want my focus on. I don't care about what's going on here. Because you know what?
Right.
Sooner or later, it's not going to concern me not one bit. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm going to be somewhere else focused on building that nation for those. Now, those that may change their mind after we move on, you know, that's up to us to choose to welcome with open arms. But I'm concerned about you, brother, and my brothers that think the same way I think. And that's it. I can't think about none of that rest of that. I'm sorry.
Indeed.
You know what I'm saying? And ain't no disrespect to my brothers and sisters, but if they don't want to learn, I can't force feed them. I can't do it no more. I done it enough.
Indeed. Indeed.
No.
And see, for me, like, you know, I come to the realization for myself that, you know, I've had a lot of counsel by some elders in the last couple of, like, months, really in the last
year. Sir.
And I've come to a lot of realizations about myself. That's one of the things I always said. I love being over 40 because my teacher used to always tell me that once you become 40, you begin to really see life. And my dad used
right.
to say back in the day, he said, once you become 40, you begin to see BS across the boulevard. And, of course, he said. Realize to me is that I hold the place where I try to take those who don't see and make them see. You know what I'm saying? Like, I try to make those who don't see and make them see. All of us have that place on the wheel. That's my place. And what I've learned is that I love your place. I love Hollis' place. I love, you know what I'm saying? Everybody has a different place on the wheel. I think we get stressed out, though, when our place is different than somebody else's place and we think it's infringing. You know what I'm saying? So whereas you're focused on the mission and you're focused, laser focused on the mission and that's it. I can respect that. I can dig that and I love you for that. But then there are people who are saying, well, you know, the mission is bigger. Some of it is here, this, that, and the next thing. You mean like I've learned I can tolerate that. I don't indulge in it. You know what I'm saying? But I've learned
right.
I can tolerate that. But I think that my job as a spiritual person and as a minister is to try to help people see, listen, you can be treading in the mud for 600 years and never get nowhere, or you can come over here where the ground is dry and you can run to your goal. And that's kind of what I try to do when I come on BAIO radio, is I try to help people
yes.
understand, listen, BAIO is not no simple, quote-unquote, back-to-Africa movement. BAIO
right.
is bigger than that because we're trying to build you something separate from where you're getting your ass whipped every day. And if you would just simply look at this as a different option, if you look at it as another option, maybe the stress that you have would be a little bit lighter. And when
yes,
people
sir.
Hear it like that, they'd be like, Lord, you know what I'm saying? Because I think a lot of times, man, brother, what you're saying is true, and I see what you're saying, and I feel the way you're saying, but I feel it in kind of a different way. And that is that a lot of people look at what we're trying to do, but they still, no matter how many times you tell them, they still don't understand. You know what I'm saying? So I'm that guy that tries to deal with those people and tries to help them understand. However, another thing I learned about me is that I can't be taking too much time because if you don't get it after me trying to tell you a couple of times, it's time for me to move on, and that's why I channel your
energy. Exactly, brother, and that's where I'm at with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've been speaking this for, you know, when we from the even before we even started the BAIO, we've been talking this. And I just feel like we've been striding on this wine press too damn long. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And if you don't get it now, you're not going to get it later. So I have to move on, because if I continue on focusing on trying to change their minds, when am I going to be able to focus on building, setting the goal and building the goal? So I say, yo, the goal is more important. The goal is more important in what's them. Because, and then I understand that we as a people, being in the condition that we have here in this country, we are a show me people. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So the only
right.
time people recognize the greatness of something is when they actually see it. It's just like Jay-Z was rapping for how many years before he grew popular? And they might have
right.
said Jay-Z was dope, but nobody cared about him being dope until that time he dropped that dope record. And when he dropped that dope record,
exactly.
then they recognized, oh, snap, Jay-Z is dope. No, Jay-Z been dope from the beginning. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He just should have been listening
right.
from the beginning, and that's what it is. And so I guess once we do our thing, set it up, then their minds will open up like, yo, maybe it's a better thing to do. And I tell them, they say, yo, well, how do you think that's going to be done? That's not going to be something easiest to do. Then I break down Dubai for them. I'm like, look at Dubai. Dubai is only only like 25 years old. They built that from the ground
Indeed.
Up. You know what I'm saying? So if they can do that, we can do it. It can be done.
Indeed,
it's the
brother.
Same thing.
And you know,
that's
going
to
be.
Huh?
No,
yeah,
that's going to be my next show, as a matter of fact, and I'm glad that you brought that out, because what's the difference between the Indians that built Dubai and those of us here,
right.
those of us on the continent, those of us on Haiti, those of us in Jamaica? What I believe the
right.
difference is that they don't have the mental block that we have.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
That's
so
the,
in other words,
that's the thing.
Yes. It's like
Carter G. Woodson said it best, the miseducation of the Negro. And that's what it is. It's
right.
that lock on your head that you ain't even taking a chance to try to pick the unlock. See, we picked our lock and unlocked our lock. And that's why we are here today and thinking what we're thinking. They need to start picking their lock, because you can't pick nobody else's lock for them. They got to do it for themselves.
Indeed, brother. Indeed. That's a very good analogy. And I know from, you know, that's my trade, being locksmith. What I know is that, you know what I'm saying, in the real world, you know, you call somebody else to get you into your house, but in the mental and spiritual world, you have to get into your own house. You know what I'm saying?
Get in your own house.
So the reality, exactly. So,
right.
yeah, okay, my brother. Let me see if I can bring some more calls in. Thank you for the call, and thank you for the words. I really appreciate you.
I thank you too, brother. I love you, brother. Stay strong. Keep dropping it.
I love you, brother.
Peace.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Always. Peace. 347. Is this Mr. Holitzism? 347-240. I'm striking out today. 757. Is this caller?
Hey, what's going on, brother minister? How you doing?
Everything good, brother.
You
raise your hand.
Oh man, I was sitting there reading something or not. You know, I was waiting to like really at the last minute to raise my hand. You know, I get a couple of calls. I thought Hope was gonna call in, Mac, and maybe Earl or whatever. I was gonna be like the last. You know. But since now that I'm on, how you doing tonight, brother? How you doing tonight?
I'm doing
yeah.
good, man. As you can see, I'm doing very good.
Man,
how you
like
doing?
Like I said, you know, personally, I'm doing all right. But you know, it's just so depressing when everything you say. Sometimes you wish that I was wrong. Sometimes you wish you were wrong. And sometimes all the stuff that
mm-hmm.
I believed for the last I don't know how many years, 30 years of my life, I wish I was wrong about it. But then when I get up and I hear that there's a mistrial in Charleston, South Carolina,
mm-hmm.
then I hear that Dylann Roof is going to represent himself, which really means they're going to throw it out of court. They're setting it up to be tossed out of court. I looked at Charlotte, North Carolina, where the prosecutor says, there's not enough evidence, you know, the guy shot the guy in cold blood in broad daylight. I look across America, and everybody, black people, all we want to do is sing, dance, worry about the next, nothing against our bros who like sports and like music and stuff like that. But like I said, it gets to the point where it's to the point where I know this is very, very serious. And me personally right now, this is so dangerous and so serious right now. This serious right now. We're seeing right now white people. Look at the guy who killed the guy, the football player, in cold blood in broad daylight the other day. Brother Day. Compounded that, now they're shooting us, right? We've accepted the fact. We've accepted black. You see the whole thing, and people say, Colin, why are you always talking about black-on-black violence? Why? I know for a fact, just knowing white people, they, in their minds, say to themselves, if they don't care about them killing each other, why should they have all the fun? You know?
Mm-hmm.
There's a proverb, in a passage in the Bible says, blessed be art thou who kills the least little Babylonian. You know what the least little means? That means when somebody brings the least little sin to you, the least little evil thought, the least little thing, you got to get the little thing. Yeah, check that thing at the door. Little thing. I noticed when I did club security, the little things that you check, right? Because you know why? Because that little thing is going to grow into big things.
Right.
For the longest time, we let things go in our community, the disrespect of our women. That's why I put that video up there now. We all know this was going on. Brothers are having these movements and everything like that. They come in there with their condoms and their weed and stuff like that, and they're trying to hook up and everything. And sisters are getting molested. And then I asked some of the sisters, I said, well, why are you guys, we have good brothers in the BAIO who talk intelligent and everything, but the sisters don't want to get down with us. But if you come there and you sound like Cyrus who said it, you got that thug voice, blah, 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 blah. And they somehow, the females think these niggas are tough, they think they're hard. And so they're doing this. So the whole so-called Black Power movement is nothing but the thug hip hop movement in consciousness.
Huh.
Our whole culture has to be confronted. Our whole culture has to be confronted. Why do we basically love people who don't have who say things, but really don't have any real knowledge or education? As long as they say it right and they can sound right and everything, and they can tell you Black Power, this, that, and the other thing, they can have no end game. Why do we like the vague and abstract? Why do we not like tangible and concrete? And why? Because it's vague and abstract. You don't really have to prove anything with the vague and abstract.
Right.
If you have a vague and abstract straw man enemy, a vague and abstract mission, a vague and abstract goals, vague and abstract ideology, you don't have to prove anything. And then you attack people because they basically call you on your bullshit because you know for yourself, you don't really have anything. They say, well, what do you do? I put up the article the other day in the thing. I said, look, for right now, when somebody says, well, Colin, what do you have? I said, I have nothing right now tangible. What I want is this. I said, when I have something, it's going to be tangible. It's going to be the fact that we have territory, land, and that's what our focus is going to be on, building that land, infrastructure, something solid, a government, land, a nation of our own. Other than that, please don't tell me about your movements. Please don't tell me about what you're going to do, because the bottom line is this. How many years have we been in this and everything? We've seen people come and go, go fund me, go support this. And everything you see, people have audiences, tens of thousands of people, and would you tell me to tell me we don't have one institution that basically can lobby the friggin' Justice Department to basically appoint a special prosecutor anytime of a goddamn police shooting for unarmed black people? And we have all these damn organizations out here talking about they represent black people. They got a nerve to friggin' tell us who we got to go vote for Hillary Clinton. Are they friggin' crazy? This is why nobody voted for Hillary Clinton. This is Holm said this right. Sometimes not voting is just as powerful as voting. Black people
Indeed.
In America sent a real message to all leadership. The message was, you don't speak for us. Your Jay-Z's and your Beyonce's, your Charlemagne the Gods, everybody that you want to friggin' trial out for didn't mean a damn thing because black people didn't go to the polls this election. And we don't give a damn about Barack Obama's legacy. You're going to throw us under the bus. We're going to let people know we're not playing games anymore.
Huh.
We don't give a damn if the Republicans and KKK take this freaking country over, and let this whole shit go up in flames. I don't give a damn anymore. But I'm not going to play games anymore with these people talking about, oh, well, we got to do this. No. Shut up, Bob Johnson. No more of this. If America is not going to be what it says it is, if it's going to openly tell us that we got to be second class to live on our knees, no, it's time for something new. It's time to sit down and talk to other governments. It's time to sit down and talk to China. It's time to sit down and talk to Russia. It's time to sit down and talk to the African Union, whoever, the BRIC nations, whoever, whoever. The bottom line, the black nation in America has to stand up and stop being afraid of the freaking United States government. We don't owe anybody anything.
Right.
I think we paid enough for this country. I think we gave it enough blood, sacrifice, and everything. Now it's time for them to prove themselves to us. And like I said, with us, the BAL, the jury's already out. We're done. There's no more.
Without a doubt, brother.
So that's
without
where we have to be at. And no more compromising.
Indeed. So check this out. I got maybe one more person I want to get to, and then I want to bounce because Max show's coming on at 9 o'clock, and I don't want to cross it.
Oh, yeah,
so,
yeah.
Thank you for taking my call, brother. Oh, without a doubt, brother. Thank you for calling in, man, and supporting, man. And
no
stay
problem,
with
no problem.
Like
time, anytime.
Always says.
Oh,
yes,
anytime,
sir.
Brother.
My dear sisters from Maui Natural Products, would you like to say something?
Yes. Hi, Minister Dawood. How are you?
Fantastic, sis. How are you?
I am doing well. I really like your topic today.
Thank you. Come on, add on.
Well, I would just like to say what Ivan Van Sertima said. And he said, once you know your history and become self-aware, it takes you from the back seat to the driver's seat. And that's significant. And I believe that most of the problems that we as captives in this country have endured for centuries or, a few centuries here is the brainwashing of our captors. And we lack self-worth. We have no idea who we are. We always look to them for acceptance, and whatever it is that we may be doing, we have to present it to them, and if they don't give it the thumbs up, then that's when we turn at each other like wild dogs fighting over a bone all of a sudden just because they didn't approve it, okay? They're not going to rescue us. You have to understand that one of the things that I realized and people have to pay attention to is, I don't know if you saw the video about what happened to Sandra Brand.
Yes, I did.
If you saw that whole video, one of the things that was profound about that video is not what happened to Sandra Brand, but what happened before Sandra Brand.
Sure.
He actually pulled over a white woman before he went after Sandra Brand.
Right.
His whole countenance and approach and how he talked to her was completely different. He talked to her like he had mutual respect for that woman.
Right.
When he talked
right.
to Sandra Brand, it was a completely different mindset that he had. And I think that a lot of people just focused on what we already know happens to us anyway, but didn't pay attention to that. People have to understand that black people, for the most part in this country, are looked at as being a commodity.
Right.
Indispensable by our slave masters, former slave masters. They can't let go of the fact that we aren't slaves. And they look at us as being that commodity that we were brought here for the most part. So that's how they see us. That's how they see us. Forget about the fact of, you know, we're killing each other, so why not we join in? How about the fact that you deserve to die anyway, and I'm the one that gave you everything, and you're just a commodity. You're
right.
Property
right.
that belongs to me, and however I want to dispose of you, I can do that any way I want.
Right.
That's
right.
the mentality that we're
yes,
dealing
ma'am.
With.
Yes, ma'am.
And that's what we keep forgetting.
Right.
When we're dealing
right.
with them. That is the
well,
mindset.
Can I get your thoughts on and I love everything that you said,
I love
everything that you say, without a doubt. Can I get your thoughts on the part where we talk about self-awareness? Because I know you're going to give me something deep in perspective, especially from the feminine energy. So please speak to the part where we talk about self-awareness, because I think that us, the nation building conversation can really never take off if we don't address the lack of self-awareness.
The first thing that people have to understand is you have to look at yourself and you have to understand and go in and find out who you are. Without knowing your past, you have no present and you have no future. So you have to know where
right.
you've been
right.
before you can even think about where you are standing right now or where you're even going.
Right.
So
right.
when you go back and you really get a chance to look at the history of what melanated people have given to this world, it changes
sure.
your whole persona about how you look at our
sure.
non-melanated people that we live around.
Right.
It explains right. a whole lot. When you go and you look at the history and you see certain diasporas, this diaspora that we live with all of this fighting and dissension is their history
mm-hmm.
that they always had.
Right. Right.
When we
right.
were
right.
on the motherland, the mother continent, we had civilizations that thrived for hundreds of thousands of years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Living in complete harmony.
Right.
Now, don't
right.
misconstrue harmony with the fact that there aren't going to be times where you might not see eye to eye.
Right, 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 right.
Let's make sure that we make that clear that
right.
harmony
right.
doesn't necessarily mean that there's not going to be somebody that, you know, there might not be a time where you rub somebody the wrong way. But
right.
we had mechanisms in place where we dealt with that.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have, there was no such word as jail in our language.
Mm-hmm.
There was no such thing as orphanages
mm-hmm.
in our civilizations. There was no such thing as old folks' homes. There was nothing like that. We didn't have
right,
that.
Right, right,
so
right.
So once you wrap your head around that and say, who was the civilizer?
Right, right.
Who was the civilizer?
If I may say something, Minister Dallas,
Come on, wait a second. Come on, wait a second. I was waiting for you to try
On the self-awareness thing and what's going on with the mental health of our people, you know, being someone who's younger and who has associated with a lot of black individuals that are around my age range, I feel like a lot of us who are at my age range, as I was saying, have a lot of depression. We go through a lot of depression, and I feel like a lot of my peers are very lost, and, you know, they suffer greatly, greatly from self-esteem problems, and
right.
it really stems
right.
from, of course, we all know,
well, you know what you got.
Childhood and everything like that, so,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know, when it comes to the whole ego and the narcissism and everything like that. I see that a lot. It's crazy how that is. You know,
right.
People constantly
right.
want their ego stroked, or, you know, they have these crazy-ass tendencies. They have these crazy tendencies.
You're all right, sis.
Okay. They have crazy tendencies and stuff like that and personality traits, but at the end of the day, I feel like a lot of them are really depressed, and they suffer greatly from extreme self-esteem problems. And that really stems from, you know, not really having that when they were children. So
right.
I'm not making
right.
an excuse for them, because just because you do, you know, end up having to be growing up in a situation where, you know, you may have not gotten everything that you needed, and you know that that was wrong for you, you treating
mm-hmm.
other people
mm-hmm.
like that
mm-hmm.
or imposing that on other people is wrong, and that makes you worse, in my opinion. But, you know, the self-awareness of people and our situation is very important on knowing who we are as individuals. And then after that, taking the next step on saying, okay, let's do stuff. Let's do something about this. Because I notice some people get off, especially in the conscious community, because, you know, I used to be in conscious communities on, you know, Facebook and stuff like that, and people were just arguing
mm-hmm.
semantics and everything like that, and I'm like, wait a minute, we're supposed
mm-hmm.
to be coming together
mm-hmm.
to build things, and there'll be like 20,000 members, and I'm like, you know, I have this gardening group that I want to make, you know, where I was going to share seeds, heirloom seeds with, you know, other people, so wherever communities they live in, they can actually start growing food within their own communities, because most black people live in food deserts where they have absolutely no nutritional food at all. They just got chicken spots and, you know, shit like that.
Right.
So
I
was like, hey, let me make a group for gardening. And when I brought it to the attention of the conscious communities, nobody cared. Nobody joined. No one even cared. As a matter of fact, I had a girl who wanted to join, and all she did was want to post pictures of gardens and stuff like that, and she was supposed to be, like, some conscious individual. And I was like, wait a minute.
Wow.
I talked to her, and I was like, hey, don't you want to participate? Like, don't you want to get some seeds? You know, because I only had a $5 donation fee, so we can get seeds and share them amongst each other, and she left the group. She wasn't even interested. And I was like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow. See, and that's the self-awareness craziness that we're dealing with. You know, people who are absolutely, I feel like a lot of us just aren't interested in the whole struggle part. They're just interested in the glamour of it.
Mm-hmm.
Making it
mm-hmm.
look like they're doing something and they're standing for a cause. But at the end of the day, if there was nobody standing for it, nothing would happen.
Right, right.
So that's...
Indeed.
That's how I feel about that. Yeah,
you know, I'm glad that you went so far.
I'm reading this book, Learn Optimism, and in the book, the author, Martin Seligman,
he talks about these experiments that were done on dogs where they received the shock, and they were trapped in a certain place, they received the shock, and every time they tried to get out, they would get shocked. So what they tried to do, the original experiment was they tried to shock them and measure how many shocks it would take for them not to get out of
whatever.
But what they found out was
that, basically,
the shocks made the dog give up. And I look at, when you talk about
depression,
I look at young people and old people in general, in the black community, older people, and whatever age, I think that we've just learned to accept our
situation,
and we lay down and help
you like we help them.
So
exactly.
When you come into consciousness or nationhood, that is supposed to give you
some kind of hope.
And I realized,
so
many years later,
after
I accepted my own and came into
nationhood,
that makes me or separates
me from others.
Yes, I believe in this and that thing. But the reality of it is that the culture that I'm in gives
me hope.
And that trumps the feeling of helplessness when you're in America and you believe that you ain't never going to get no fair shake and you just lie down and
you
take it. You understand? So me, I just think that in a lot of ways, that's going to be my next topic for
next
week is, you know what I'm saying, centered around that. I just think that after seeing, like I was talking about the three cycles of what you see when you see a police
unit,
in my judgment, I think that that's what happens is people have learned to be helpless
and
they've seen it so much and then they let them
in,
nobody gets indicted. So you just be like, damn, you ain't going to get no fair shake. And the people feel helpless. And that's what makes them
depressed, I think.
Other than the obvious other things that we deal with, I just feel like I understand that and everything. I completely agree. I just feel like when are we gonna realize that the government that we're living in does not support us as a people at all? Like, when do you logically look at that and say, this is systematic oppression? This is not like something that just happens. Oh, it just happened. I feel like a lot of us are trapped, want to stay trapped in fantasy. And some of us don't want to see what it is. I think a lot of us try to play a game on our own minds and try to pretend like this isn't happening because they don't want to deal with the truth. Because we know that the truth can be extremely ugly, but I'd rather deal with the ugliest of truths than the most beautifulest of fantasies.
Right.
And I think
that happens
a lot with people that are getting thrown the trinkets from the table.
Sure.
And they think that they're in a better position, and they delude themselves into believing that what they're seeing on television with other blacks that are being killed, or even people that they know that may talk about being harassed from the police, they'll stand up and say, well, I've never happened to me, and, you know, the people I work at my job, I'm the only black person there, and I never have any problems with them, and,
right.
You know, that
right.
type of thing is what you hear. So, in other words, what you're saying is all the stuff that you see and what you hear people saying, they're just making this up?
Right.
Is that what you're trying to say? Or is that what you want to try to believe for yourself so you don't have to deal, you allow your subconscious mind not to deal with the reality. And that brings that fantasy to the forefront of your conscious mind just so you can get through from day to day.
Right. And you know what?
And you know what?
Damn well. They
got
to hear these crazy comments every day. They got to cringe and act like they didn't hear it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But they, oh, I never heard it. Oh, this
never happened.
And if
any time around,
they're going to go there. And the worst part about it is when they go there,
another ethnic around you.
And they look at you and make sure
they're okay doing it.
You know what I'm saying?
Like
we're going to talk about Abel.
Are you okay with that?
I'm sorry?
You know, so.
The what?
I'm sorry. What was it that you said?
I said that, as people who try to deny, damn well, that they go through that with their coworkers every day on the job. And the worst part for me, you know what I'm saying? Is when they look at you and they look at you and you're going on another ethnic group and be like, hey, wait, before we slander Asian, are you okay with that? You know, before we talk about Puerto Ricans, are you okay with that?
You know, so, right.
Because we ain't never going to talk about your group
unless
you're not here.
Right, exactly. Because the first thing that anybody in their right mind should say, well, damn, if they're talking about the Asians and the Hispanics and everybody else, and boy, they're brutal. I can just imagine what they say about me when I'm not around.
Exactly, exactly.
But most people won't, a lot of people won't say that. They'll delude themselves into believing that they're special, which I always try to tell people, honey, you're not special.
Mm-hmm.
You might need to get on a special bus, but you're not special.
So, well, listen, I'm gonna wrap this show up because I guess it's going. Thank you for your input and your time.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank y'all for being here. And
That's right. Definitely.
Oh, is that Sharon here in the background?
Oh, you know you're gonna get it. Take care.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Well, that's going to do it for us today, brothers and sisters. I thank you all for your time and attention. I hope at first you got something out of what we had to say today. Salaam alaikum, Hotep, peace, Black African power.